Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm also a broker here at StoneX, where we work with producers, consumers, speculators, hedging in the ag markets, energy, and really anything in the commodities. I work in futures and options. We do OTC, structured products, and also cash consulting, especially on the hedging and commercial end user side of things. If you like this podcast, please feel free to pass it along. It's free for anyone to listen to and check out, get to know me and StoneX. You can also go to iTunes and give us a positive review. If you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com, or you can also go to turnerstakeag.com to check out the newsletter. So let's get into it. Oh, one other thing for clients that are listening to this, and if you're interested in any of the ideas that we have, or if it sparks some thought about what you may need to be doing for your business or your trading, please give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. If you're interested in working with us, please give me a call. You can also email me too at craig.turner@stonex.com. Happy to talk anytime. So let's get into it. We've got, we'll start with the macro markets. I'd say the two big news items this week. The Omicron variant is very much in the news and causing a lot of volatility in the markets. It does sound like this variant of COVID, while it is more contagious, is a lot less lethal and has milder symptoms. So that would be good. You can even see some speculation saying it'll help the process of natural immunity. People who recover from it, you know, get a mild version of it and have an immunity from it just from having it. So that is an interesting point on this. And we had some big sell-offs late last week and then earlier this week. And now it seems like the market might be more comfortable with this variant as long as there isn't a lot of shutdowns in global economies. So that'll be something that we continue to keep an eye on. I would say the other big news, and I think it might have a bigger impact on the long term here, is the Fed earlier this week basically said inflation is not transitory, that it is in fact now structural. That is a big turn of events and opinion coming out of the Fed. The Fed will probably then look to continue to taper and increase their efforts. I'll look for multiple rate increases. Now, we always remember, next year, always remember the Fed has a dual mandate. Mandate number one is probably to get to as full employment as possible. And the unemployment rate is about as low as it's going to go. So that's number one. And then number two is inflation. And, with the economy strong, the labor market at least strong, and inflation now Fed does not see inflation as transitory anymore. They see it as structural. We should see the Fed become more hawkish, and we will probably see an increase in tapering, going to see rate hikes. So that is coming in 2022. What that means for the markets, we'll just have to see, but that is going to be most likely a theme that continues here for a while. When the Fed changes gears and goes from easing and dovish policies to higher rates and hawkish policies, it's usually not a one-time thing. I mean, this is a trend that builds over time. These are the kind of policies that could start in 2022 and go well into 2023. It'll be interesting to see how they are able to fight inflation at the expense of you know, what's going on with the economy and growth, but we'll just have to see. So that is the big macro theme here. I would think the dollar gets stronger, and we'll see how the stock market reacts. Usually December is a pretty good month for the stock market, and we'll see if it is again this year too. Let's move on to energy. A lot of the big story this week was OPEC, and if they were going to increase production or not. They did. And I think really what it was is they're just not limiting production as much. They had, you know, when the pandemic started and prices collapsed, they were cutting production by about 400,000 barrels. And I think what they're going to do is now basically remove that production cut and go back to the old levels. Crude, which had been in the 80s, you know, sparked some pretty high prices in energy, and natural gas had been high. It's not as high as it was. And RBOB, gasoline and heating oil were getting high. So there was some political pressure for OPEC to increase production. And it looks like that is also helped out too. I would think crude is, you know, maybe it can dip below $60. I thought crude would be a $65 to $85 market. But if we're going to pump more and OPEC is going to play along and be nice about it, maybe it can go a little bit lower. If as you're adding supply to the market now, eventually prices hit an equilibrium. And if demand keeps on increasing, you will see higher prices later. What it also happens, though, is you don't get as much alternative energy. You don't get as much higher cost producers who would be willing to do exploration and drilling for crude if it gets too low. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Biodiesel is and green energy and renewable fuels are still going to be a hot topic. We saw, United Airlines, they ran their first flight where one of the engines was 100% biofuel. Now, you know, you see anything, the airline industry is a good industry to talk about here, this bridge between energy and grains. And, you know, more and more corporations want to be less reliant on fossil fuels and reduce their carbon footprint, and they want to use renewable fuels. And one of the renewable fuel with probably the most growth, or hopefully the most growth, is going to be this biofuel. And a lot of that comes from vegetable oil. So we'll probably see, you know, biofuel, we produce about 20 billion gallons here in the United States, which is what I think the commercial airlines use for jet fuel. So even if, you know, the commercial airlines would use 10, 15, 20% of biofuel for their jet fuel, I mean, that would be well supported vegetable oil and soybeans and canola for a very long time. We're seeing production increase. They're going to probably try to get up to the next 4 or 5 years to 80 to, you know, 100 billion gallons a year of biodiesel. We're going to see more states and countries want to go in that direction. We're already tight in the global vegetable oil market, so we're going to need an expansion of acres and production and yields in the four major oils, vegetable oils around the world. And it seems like to me that the energy, renewable fuels, biofuels link is going to be very supportive of oil seeds here for the next few years, the same way how the renewable fuel standard was very supportive for corn for multiple years as the industry had to catch up to the demand they needed for the mandates for ethanol. So that's where we kind of see going on with soybean oil and soybeans here. So energy and grains are just getting more and more linked. It used to be, you know, the corn for ethanol story. Now it's going to be the vegetable oils for biodiesel and biofuels. And it just seems like, you know, in terms of fossil fuels, natural gas will most likely come out the winner here, because it is the cleanest when you compare it to coal and crude oil. And right now, in terms of renewables, it seems like biodiesel is the winning the day here in that category. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But that is what we're seeing. So in terms of, pricing on, let's say, natural gas, crude oil, ethanol, and biodiesel, they're all going to, natural gas, not so much, but the other three will be highly correlated. Natural gas is interesting. I'll just spend a couple of seconds on that. As European prices and global prices have relaxed, the United States prices have really come down. We've seen increased production, not as much use, and the weather markets. And the weather has been very favorable for low demand. And we're just seeing all the money come out of natural gas. I do think it's going to hold I thought we'd hold 450. You throw in the pandemic and the money flow coming out, natural gas can be a very wide-ranging market. I would think four holds. I'm looking for four to hold here. And if we do get colder into the winter, you'd think you'd see prices increase in January and February. We've got a long way to go. But it is because we've had this milder winter, we are not seeing the draw on stocks that we were concerned about. And that that really has a lot to do with the weakness in natural gas right now. Finally, I want to get a little bit into the catalyst coming up with the grain markets. Probably between now and, let's say, February, it is really the time for South American weather markets. Now, we could have La Nina. I mean, there is a La Nina in effect, but it really hasn't impacted crops a whole lot. I think in December, we will see some good moisture in a lot of South America, especially Argentina and southern Brazil, where La Nina can really make those areas dry in La Nina years. It does look like the Buenos Aires exchange put out a weather report saying there will be moisture in December, but they're expecting hot and dry conditions to lead to drought-like conditions in January and February. Now, this is 30 to 60 day and farther out forecasts. I tend to not put a lot of faith in anything past 14 days, but it is something to keep an eye on. So if the grain markets are going to rally hard here during the traditional South American weather, it's going to be weather markets. It's most likely going to be January and February. We will have to keep an eye on how things progress down there. And, on this recent break, corn has a lot. If South America has weather issues, corn would probably be the biggest benefit in the futures market. And if we do get drought-like conditions in January and February, that is how corn can break out above 6 and then 620. So that remains to be seen. It would impact soybeans, not as much, but it definitely would impact soybeans. Some of the soybeans were here in Brazil, especially in central Brazil and northern and out to the east, does have favorable conditions. And sometimes those areas can outperform based on years past, because they do get more rain in those areas during La Nina year. So soybeans would still go up with corn and wheat, but just not so much in that kind of situation. Finally, I just want to touch real quick on acres. There's been a lot of talk about corn and fertilizer and, can we have 93 to 94 million acres? A lot of analysts are saying 90 to 91. The big debate I've been hearing between analysts and farmers and people I know is, where do those acres go? Originally, it's almost been a knee-jerk reaction or automatic that it goes to soybeans. That is definitely not the case this year. When you take a look at input costs and then price of commodities and what the profitability or margin is per acre, there is a very strong case to be made that we could see more wheat. Where these acres come out of corn, let's say in the Western Belt or the Northern Plains, don't go to soybeans, that they actually go to wheat. And in the Northern Plains, it'd be spring wheat. And in the Western Belt, it would be the hard red winter wheat, which, by the way, is experiencing a little bit of a drought out there too, and that could be an issue. So it is interesting to see that. If that's the case, then that'd be more bullish for soybeans than we thought, and it has the potential to have tighter corn if there's still high fertilizer and input costs next year too. And I think that is about it. In terms of the export game, we are seeing China buying Ukraine corn, so that will, you know, bring down the major exporting stocks and would help the United States a ton, but it will bring down the global exporting stocks. If as China continues to buy corn from Ukraine, the United States would then be the last resort of a supplier. We do see China coming in and buying soybeans. And on the wheat side, they're buying Australian wheat. So what's interesting about China here is it looks like they're spreading it around. They're going to the Ukraine for corn, United States for soybeans. And right now we're hearing rumors of them coming in for Australian wheat. So we'll see. That really is kind of the story of the day here. So next couple of months, need to keep an eye on the wheat story in terms of acres, what's going on in Australia, see if we can pick up any additional demand. Out west, we could have a drought. Also, too, here's another thing about the hybrid wheat out west, something to keep an eye on, is it is dry out there. And if we have warmer temperatures in the, let's say, the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s out there, you know, we do see more evaporation of moisture out of the soil when those temperatures are warmer. We're not getting a ton of precipitation. And also, because of the warmer temperature, we're not getting the snow cover that we need. So if we are warm for a while, and then we have a cold snap, we're going to basically have wheat with not a whole lot of snow cover. So even though winter kill is never as bad as advertised, it does cause rallies, right? You do get the winter kill spike, you know, which eventually gets sold. It's just rare for it to, it's like any other weather market. Like usually you get the weather scare and it's not as bad and the markets come back. We see that for corn and soybeans in the summer, and you tend to see that for wheat in the winter. But we are having conditions here. If we don't have the snow cover and it's warmer than normal and we're evaporating more moisture and not getting a lot of rain, and then you have these big cold snaps out in the western part of, you know, of wheat country, that could lead to some uncertainty. And the thing is with you know, the winter frost risk is that the winter kill risk is that you really don't know the impact of it until we get closer into the wheat coming out of the ground and you can, you know, see how it is. And even with harvest, you can see the protein. It just takes a while. It's not like corn and soybeans where you get damage to the crop and, you know, or some kind of event, you have a better idea sooner. It could take a while to really understand how something, an event like that can affect wheat. So just a lot of things going on. If I am a speculator, I'm probably buying corn on the dips. Probably wheat too on the old crop. If I am a end user, I'm probably trying to book as much as I can for the first quarter just in case things go higher. If I'm a farmer down in new crop, I would be probably selling, especially wheat in new crop, just because these high prices will bring out acres. I think, you know, soybeans do run the risk on new crop. You know, $13 for new crop soybeans actually looks pretty good. I think if I'm a farmer, and if I'm going to leave anything open, I probably would leave open corn. And if you're up in Canada, I can see, you know, the cash crops in Canada are canola and spring wheat. I can see maybe being more apt to selling new crop wheat if I wanted to get a little something done on the board and leaving the canola open, only because, you know, canola and rapeseed and soybean oil and palm oil are just all in tight supply. And it's hard to see the vegetable oil market coming down or having any kind of serious weakness until next harvest. And if these biofuel mandates continue to grow and we're just going to need more and more production. So that seems like a tight market. So I'd probably be, you know, in new crop more of a seller of wheat than anything else. That is about it. If you have any questions for me, you want to talk about the macro markets, energies, grains, oil seeds, please let me know. Again, we work with hedgers and speculators, producers and end users, anything in the major commodity markets, OTC, futures and options, cash consulting. Happy to talk to anyone anytime. Thank you very much for listening. If you're a client, please, again, give me a call if you hear something you want to implement this to your trading or, you know, your hedging or purchasing. Again, number is 312-706-7610. People, if you're interested in working with us or talk to us in the past, again, give me a call or email anytime. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.